We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog.
Well, hello and welcome to our 11th episode of Gutenberg Changelog. In today's episode, we have a lot to talk about. Gutenberg 7.0, 7.1 was released with a navigation feature, other enhancements. We also talk about a lot of community contributions like Share a Block and Gutenberg Run. My name is Birgit Pauli-Haag, and I'm the curator of Gutenberg Times and owner of Polysystems, a boutique web agency. I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer at Automattic and core contributor to WordPress. Thanks for being here again, Mark. How are you today?
Hey there, Birgit. It's been a while. I'm doing good, although today was quite stressful. I had internet outages in my area. Like a significant region was out of internet. I think I jumped from coffee shop to coffee shop today, visiting about four or five, hoping for some free Wi-Fi. Finally found one like 10 miles away. And luckily I've made it back today and I'm home now. Internet is back up. We're doing a podcast together and all is well in the world.
Yes. And after we had to move the first date because of internet outages in Florida. And so we are glad we are all both back and can update you all, dear listener, on the Gutenberg things that have been happening in the last two, maybe even 3 weeks. The first section is our listener questions, and I just put a tweet out last night or yesterday about our recording, and if somebody has a question, we would do it and answer it here on the show. So Luke Carbus from Brisbane, Australia, posted on Twitter, is GitHub the right place to facilitate discussion on new Gutenberg features? Why is something as important as the future of the themes in WordPress only discussed using a developer tool? I'm not so sure that that's actually accurate. There's not a single place to discuss a single thing because the future of theme is not a, it's a many, many different parts of it. Yeah. But that's a great question. Mark, do you have, you left a comment for Luke on Twitter.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And if you're perusing GitHub, you'll see a lot of work being done and discussions happening. And so that could lead one to think that that's the only place discussions are happening. However, there have been a lot of great discussions in making WordPress Slack group recently in various channels too, regarding themes, regarding the future of Gutenberg. I've seen these discussions happening in like four or five different team meetings recently within the last 2 weeks. I'm also seeing a lot of great posts coming up on the Make WordPress blogs. Mm-hmm. So whether it's the design team or the core team, like there's a lot of posts coming where people are encouraged to leave comments, to share their opinions and their thoughts, to really help influence and have a say in the decisions that are happening and kind of the future of Gutenberg. And I encourage anybody to just come on, ask us, Birgit, myself, ask us questions in Twitter, and we're happy to share these out and to really try to facilitate more conversation, asynchronous conversation, so that everybody around the globe has an opportunity to give input.
Yeah, very well said. And I saw them also, even in the theme review, were a lot of discussions about that. But it can really be overwhelming. So if you start just starting out and trying to follow up, I think it's a good idea to subscribe to the Make blog of the design team. It's make.wordpress.org/design. And Mark Urain posts great updates on the Gutenberg phase two with the relevant links to the GitHub NPRs and issues and other teams' Make blog. You do a fantastic job.
And thank you.
So when he gets to it, and I think it's scheduled either every other Friday or every Friday, that definitely catches you up on things that happened before. So
yeah, I try to get it out every Friday. The holiday season has proven to be a little more difficult with that, though. But I am looking to get one up this week as well.
And yesterday we had a very lively live Q&A about the future of themes and how to rethink theme development for the Gutenberg phase two, like full site editing. And we talked with Ellen Bauer, a theme shop owner from New Zealand and a very early adopter of Gutenberg, William Patton, who is the lead of the theme review team, and Rich Tabor, the creator of Coblox, and he's now with GoDaddy. So we had plenty of audience questions. The link to the video will be in the show notes, and as soon as we have a transcript published, we will also publish it a transcript back from our editors. We will publish that on GutenbergTimes.com.
That link to that discussion that you all had would be a great place for Luke, who asked us earlier in Twitter about where these discussions are happening. Luke, check that link out for sure.
We also tentatively scheduled some theme demo live coding session with Enrique Piqueras, who's on the development team, because yesterday we had a question we couldn't really answer in this just talking heads kind of format about the HTML templates and how they would work as well as the template parts. And we will show how those are working in real life and how you can get started from a very simple example to some more complicated things. It will be on January 23rd at 2 p.m. and 1900 UTC. Just that to save the date. It's not yet published yet. Yeah, exclusive announcement for the Gutenberg changelog right now.
Excellent. We also have some community contributions that have been going on. I'll start off with some experiments with column layouts that Mel Choice has been doing. She's written a post and shared it on her website, and where she really has put together some great column patterns for common reusable blocks that people might use on their website and has been sharing them out. And one of the places that these are being shared on is a place called shareablock.com by Jeffrey Carendane. He's the developer behind Editor's Kit plugin, and he's built this website that shares common block patterns for people. So one of the things you can do with his plugin and within Gutenberg 2 is you can save out a block and export a JSON file. You can upload it to his site, shareablock.com, and other people can come and see these patterns, pick one they like, download the JSON file, upload it to their install and their WordPress website, and be able to utilize these block patterns, which is fantastic for those of you kind of designing layouts and designing pages for yourself or for others in the industry. Really great work by everyone involved there.
I'm really amazed how the creativity kind of really sprung up a lot of initiatives, and I'm really happy that Jeffrey took this on because he has been so trailblazer in his Editor's Kit plugin in providing additional features for the default blocks. I also want to point out Greg Chalkowski has taken the WPCLI has a simple support for block scaffolding that generates code that runs in the browser without the need for any build step. And it's documented on the WPCLI site, but Greg took that, ported the script over to a Node.js version and without the need, so you can create blocks without the need for active installation of WordPress. And the plan is to introduce the concept to templates and provide the default support for ESNext and JSX and all the modern JavaScript tooling out of the box with a single command from the command line. And here's a nice, in the show note, in the link, here's a nice GIF and how it happens on your screen and how you can then build blocks from then on. That's really amazing.
That introduction to his work, Birgit, is just shy of like a button that should say launch rocket into space.
Yeah.
That is so technical and so much. Greg, great work there. I will have to read that post for sure.
Yeah. And I know that quite a few developers have trouble with the modern JavaScript and whatever kind of easy step to ease in on that and block development. I'm really supportive of that. Speaking about blocks, the block directory submissions guidelines have been published
yes.
As a draft by Alex Shields from the Meta team. That's the, and you can actually enable the block directory through the experiments setting site on Gutenberg. Go over there and read those draft guidelines. They need your feedback, especially when you want to publish blocks on the block directory. It's probably going to be really helpful for you to figure out what's allowed and what's not allowed. Plugin repository always has some more restrict guidelines. So
if you are a block plugin developer, go read that and leave some feedback, because that is how you get your plugin, single block plugin, into the block directory. And so when a user is searching the block library in Gutenberg for a particular need, if there are no core blocks or none of their current plugins are providing the solution, but there is a solution that matches the keywords in the block directory, that shows up right in the block library, right inside of Gutenberg, and they can add it and seamlessly install the block right into Gutenberg. That's fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you want to learn more about the block directory, because it kind of passed you by up until now, there's on the Gutenberg Times, we had a live Q&A with the creators of the block directory, with Alex Shields and Mel Joyce, the designer, and CK Lee, the JavaScript developer. And Mel does a very good demonstration of that, and then we talk it all through. So we will have the link to that also in the show notes. All right, so Mark.
So yeah, we've had two Gutenberg releases since we've last recorded a show. We had Gutenberg 7, which was released in November 27th, I believe, and then Gutenberg 7.1 on December 11th. So let's jump into the features. Well, 7.1 actually was pretty gigantic. It had 161 pull requests that were merged in. That's quite a chunk. We're going to go through, Birgit and I are going to go through the features and the sections, you know, the enhancements, the bugs, but we're not going to separate them out necessarily by version, but we're just going to talk about some of the quick ones that we, that really caught our eye and we're excited about and seeing happen. So some of the recent features with the within these two versions included the navigation block. It was listed as a stable feature, and it is a part of Gutenberg now. You can add the navigation block to your content. This is going to make such a huge difference when full site editing becomes like more solid. Right now, people don't necessarily have the necessity to add a navigation into their content, but once you're able to edit your editor, your header, or your footer all from within Gutenberg, adding a navigation block and moving it around is huge. Creating this navigation block has really pushed some boundaries within Gutenberg. It's forced us to reiterate upon the block interface. We had to figure out whole new ways to move blocks within blocks around, horizontal movers rather than just moving blocks up and down. We had to figure out how to move them left and right. A lot of great work by Johan and Tammy, Mel, just contributors, just spending some time and figuring all this out. These things range from like, well, there's a whole list of stuff like highlighting menu items, removing background colors, renaming navigation menu item block to link instead, like just really like user complexities around the block that we really had to simplify and refine. So that's the navigation block. There's a whole lot more. Let's see. We've done, there's adding a menu to visually switch between edit and navigation modes and announce the mode changes to the screen reader users. So really nice visual and accessible changes there for screen readers. We there's support adding a caption to the table block now. I love that table block, Birgit. I say that every time there's an enhancement to the table block, I get so excited. We've got implementing a welcome guide modal. This is a big one. I will tell you how many times the little popover tips that happened for new Gutenberg users was always, it was like blocking content. It wasn't, people weren't sure how to interact with it. And so now we have a modal that just kind of dims Gutenberg editor out into the background and really highlights what Gutenberg is, helps the user understand blocks a little bit. And if the user wants to skip that you know, little welcome guide they can.
They can dismiss it all at once and not have to click three times to dismiss it.
Yeah.
And I really like the navigation block together with the table block, because I was over Thanksgiving weekend, I was at a cricket tournament and I was updating the scores on on the fly, so to speak. And the page needed a navigation so people can jump to, yeah, who are the teams and where is the schedule and what are the photos. So I used the navigation block to have an on-page navigation and then the table block to put the results in. And it was very easy to handle and I really liked it. So, and it was very fast because I'm just going to... Yeah, had only one stop to go, one thing to go to. So, and the enhancements, if the features are not enough, we have some, the team also put some enhancements in existing features. The big one is definitely a fixed block toolbar for the mobile version, where it was really hard to edit things. And so there is a, on top, the toolbar is always fixed on by design or by default.
That one was took a lot of thought to try to figure out how to get it to work cross-browser.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That was the trick. And I think it was Safari that was the trouble, like really caused some problems for us. For Yoan specifically, I got to give the credit there. I just kind of tested a few things out. But he spent some good amount of time trying to figure that out. Props to him.
Yeah. And now you, another enhancement is that you, the Gutenberg now on the cover block uses gradient class names instead of inline styles. That's all theme developers are having a sigh of relief there, finally.
and you know what, believe it or not, like there's actually some kickback on that too. So there's good discussions. Some people are for it. And I agree, like some of those theme developers really appreciate that. But then there's others, you know, who are really, really against maybe some of that stuff. And they have their reasons. So I wanted to highlight that one because there's good discussion that really goes into these things.
Yeah, gradient gets a lot of interest on that.
It does.
It's the beginning. Yeah. On the cover block, we also now have a, you can use a video and you always could one, but now you also have a preview on the cover block of that video.
Yeah.
There were also changes to the block Y, like the hover styles and how child and parent blocks kind of work together.
Oh my goodness. Has that like changed your experience with Gutenberg? Have you noticed that?
I have not noticed it, no.
You haven't noticed it too much. For me, I those outlines, when they would appear everywhere, all that, it was just so much UI when I was trying to like mess around. Just removing some of this stuff helps so much. Like just lightens it up and makes it feel like I'm just in an editor. Right? I'm not in this app where I'm moving blah. I'm just in an editor editing content and it's refreshing. I'm glad we made that change.
And I know that a lot of people that are content creators, they have kind of these overwhelmed of there's always something popping up and I have to, it's a distraction pretty much from the world.
Yeah.
And then there's enhancement on the block multi-selections. Yeah. So it come, you could always multi-select blocks, but you couldn't edit things or multi-select something over two paragraphs you needed to do separately. Now that seems to be working. And then also paste on a multi-selection, so you could copy and paste it in. There were some good enhancements there for the power users. They improved the image blocks replacement flow. There was always it was a little cumbersome to kind of figure out, okay, I don't want that image anymore, what do I do? And then there were some leftovers, like you needed to put the new link in and all this wouldn't look.
That one's a long-standing PR that has been going for, I want to say, a couple months. And I've been contributing to it with Andre, and really just that flow needed to be improved. And it's a lot clearer now. The flow feels right. But I will tell you, we're also seeing, we have like four or five different link interface, like creating a link in Gutenberg. There's like four or five different ways that this is done in different blocks. So our next thing now is to really improve the consistency between all those.
Yeah, and yeah, I think previously we had a list of input from Dave Wheatley, who has some blogs on the Design Make blog, and where his proposal is to kind of unify some of the interfaces and some of the standards like text size and spaces and color, these kind of things. Yeah. Now, and another good enhancement is now you could always do drag and drop into an image block, but you never could do it for the featured image. Now you can also do this for the featured image, because that's mostly what I do, is kind of putting featured image in, and having a drag and drop is really helpful.
Just to touch on this, if you look at the Gutenberg design principles, drag and drop is listed as a secondary action, right? Because that I believe it's like more, you know, you need to use a mouse, you need to use like some other tools to really be able to perform a drag and drop action, right? And so primary actions we want you to be able to just do from within the block itself. Makes but sense. Drag and dropping is such a common interaction too. So while it's secondary, I really like that we're making efforts to improve some of the drag and drop capabilities within Gutenberg.
Yeah, definitely.
I just wanted to highlight that because I think it's a value for Gutenberg.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, considering that other apps that we are commonly using are very good at drag and drop, like Google Docs or Google Sheets.
Yeah,
and then there was a whole, if you combine the two release notes from 7.0 and 7.1, you probably have about 80 just list of bug fixes. Our selection is very, very short.
Oh, you mean our users don't have to wait through an hour of bug fixes right now that we're going to go over? Our listeners? Did I say users? I meant listeners.
Definitely, so one of the highlights is that multiple paste issues is fixed that created unnecessary empty spaces, especially from Google Docs and others. Yeah. So, yay!
That was a problem, right? I don't know how many times I was deleting spaces that were being dropped in there.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts, but it's beautiful now.
And then also prevent the resizing of the image block. When you resize the image block, it all of a sudden would cover the boundaries of the block. So you'll have some overlaps there. That is fixed. Also, the snack bar notification, that's something that's on the bottom of your screen when you save a post or save a page, and then it says you can view page. Those are called snack bar for whatever reasons. And the position has been fixed because it was overlapping with the breadcrumbs that came in 6.8, I think it was.
Right. That snack bar name just is completely inherited from Google.
From the library, I would think that is in use there. And it also, one of the fixes is that the CSS styles for the color picker component were fixed. There's a lot of usage out of that, so fixing that really helps. And then a really big boo-boo was that when you had a private post and that was dated, scheduled for the future, it would become public as an update. And not a whole lot of people used that, but those that used were very surprised.
Yeah, as you noted, Birgit, that there was a lot of bug fixes that have happened in these two versions. And I just want to point out that we realize there are a lot of difficulties. You know, there are a lot of bugs. There are a lot of areas that need improvement. And to note these bug fixes, like there's a lot of time spent improving the interface, really trying to bring it to something that benefits all users of WordPress. And so those of you who had second thought or who were like questioning Gutenberg and giving it another try now could be a completely different experience for you. If you tried it early on in WordPress 5.0, give it another, and you gave up on it, went to the classic editor, give it another try. I really recommend this because it's improved a lot since then, in that year's time.
I don't know, 30 different updates on Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there were new APIs. I'm just highlighting the two of them. One is a cart component that now can be used for plugin developers and block developers. And then our favorite thing, it's the gradient picker, is a new custom gradient picker component is now available for those who want to use them.
Which is everybody. Which everybody wants gradients.
Everybody uses them and everybody has an opinion about them. And they're all really good. Yeah, I like them.
And then that brings us to experiments, right? So there's always improvements to experiments happening in Gutenberg. If you have the plugin, you can go down to the plugins admin menu and you can see a listing called experiments. Click on that. You get an option of various things that you could turn on or turn off than Gutenberg itself. Some of these include like block content areas, which really are leading into the full site editing experience. These include like adding a post title and post content blocks, like separating these out. So now the title becomes a block itself. There are template parts for custom post types and the theme resolution logic there, adding a demo templates directory, adding a template part block, and some other documentation. The widget screen, which we had dabbled in earlier this year, has seen some more action lately. Some development time has been spent into this. We're really trying to improve this. And get it, we really want to get it to a point, this widget screen, so that I can start doing some usability testing on it. Mm-hmm. Right now, it just wasn't quite there. And I really have been holding off on doing any testing there because it would fail. Like, it just wasn't there yet. We're improving it right now. And it's getting to a point where I might start testing maybe January. And we want to see, like, is this a good route to take? Or do people feel better about the widget screen and just staying in the widget screen? So that kind of concludes our experiments. Here, what else do we have?
There are improvements on the documentation, like a backwards compatibility policy document is now available. And also, of course, the get it started documentation has been improved, not only because of the model.
I like that someone spent some time on the getting started documentation, because that's really how new contributors get involved. And so adding those little bit of details that were added are going to be beneficial. If you're looking to contribute, the getting started document was just revised. So please check it out. That'll help you.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And we have later on, we also talk about another tool that will help with that. And then there were some another various heading or various stuff is mentioned, but it was also a very long list and I only cut it down to 4 items. It's important to know that the plugin minimum requirement has changed from 5.0 to 5.2. So if you want to use the Gutenberg plugin, you need to have WordPress on 5.2 version or later, of course. And then there were 2 things removed. One is the maximum width style and the image block, so it could be larger. And also the college humor embed block was removed.
Oh, bye-bye. Oh. College humor.
Yeah, it was only removed not because of the embed block, but because the site discontinued. So. And then also to improve and simplify reusable block styles, that was part of it, that they sometimes looked a little bit different than
original. A contributor who's been around for a while, Zebulon, has made those changes. And I wanted to call those out because Zebulon kind of took this user, was contributing quite a bit to phase 1 of Gutenberg and would leave a lot of comments and get involved in the discussions. And this contributor is back again and really doing some really nice things. And I wanted to call some attention to that.
Yeah, welcome back, Seb. I remember him from the early days of Gutenberg, yes.
Yeah, it's great to see these people come back and really like give more. It always makes me excited.
Yeah.
So that leads us into recent like active development that's happening with Gutenberg. Some of that we saw in a post recently from Matthias Ventura about the block UI redesign work that's happening. I believe the post was titled Advancing the Block Interface, but it really focused a lot on kind of the toolbar for the block and how the block is thought about. And I really appreciate this, Birgit, because as people know, when you start building a software, you tend to go down rabbit holes and it's hard to, you know, to look back like, okay, looking at everything that we know, with everything that we know now, if we were to redesign this, like what would we do differently? And this post is kind of an adventure into that thinking. Like, okay, everything that we know about Gutenberg now, how would we design a block today? How would we change things in the interface? And it's so good. I mean, we're only in phase two, and it's so good to kind of see a refresh of like, how would we design this already, you know? And I'm excited. Look at that post. It's in the show notes. Leave some comments. There's some really good things there. And these things are including like a higher level of contrast in the UI. It includes like a floating toolbar that isn't necessarily attached to the block itself. And it kind of removes some of these borders. Again, we were talking about removing these borders. I like that because it's a lighter UI. It's a lighter interface. And good work for those people who have been doing that.
Yeah. And I can see that. Even just watching people using it gives a lot of ideas in terms of how this could be made easier or better. And there was a lot of things that are tapped onto the block toolbar, that you said, okay, maybe I didn't need that at that moment. So going back and revisiting that, that's really, really a good place to start before we go into full site editing. We also wanted to highlight a plugin that was created by Automatic, and it's the Layout Grid plugin. It provides you a nice grid within the Gutenberg to align your content and play a little bit around with it, but also have a good grid system. So I will definitely try that out in some of our sites and see how that works.
I'm excited about that plugin right there. I've been watching a lot of the work, being an employee of Automatic as well. I've been seeing the work that they've been doing and kind of the challenges that they've had creating this. And so to see it out there and as something they're sharing with everyone else now. Really good work. That brings us to another recent post from Riyadh. He recently posted about the December focus areas for Gutenberg. A lot of these, Birgit, we've already covered, but it's a great refresher. If anybody's interested to see like, oh, I want to get involved with Gutenberg, what are some of the things that are happening? This is where we're spending a lot of our time. So if you're looking into block content areas, which are leading into full site editing, block patterns, so common patterns of blocks that people can add to Gutenberg. This is something we're spending a lot of time in. We'd love to, eventually open this up for third-party developers for themes so that themes can register block patterns using core blocks. This is going to be fantastic for people who are building layouts within their website, within their posts. And then we have a lot of tightening up things that we're going through, such as really polishing the navigation block. There's a lot of design work that needs to happen there. The custom gradient picker, improvements to the media flows, that has emerged. So that one's off the list now. Yeah. But of course, we talked about all the link interfaces. There's toolbar accessibility improvements, and iterations on the block interface as we discussed. What else, Birgit? And I think it's one of my favorites. So please take it away.
It says, it's Gutenberg.run. So Andrew Duthie, butchering his last name, I'm sorry, created a simple way to test PRs of Gutenberg. So if a developer has a pull request sent into GitHub, it's always hard to kind of which branch and where is it and how do you test this. You don't need to have a development site on locally. You can now go to Gutenberg.run, take the PR number, ID number, and it will spin up a temporary WordPress install for that particular branch. So you can test it in isolation and then have comments for that developer and figure out if it runs or if there are some error messages or something like that.
So much of the work that we do in Gutenberg and the PRs that we create, so much of that sometimes sits around because it's hard to get someone to test it. The developers and the designers, the contributors, we need to take time to put aside and really go through and actually test people's PRs so that we can help those PRs move and get merged. And this has made that experience so much better. You don't need a local install of WordPress. You don't need a development environment. Just spin up gutenberg.run/the PR ID and you're going to get an install where you can test exactly what needs to be tested. And then, as you said, Birgit, drop in some comments and move that PR forward.
It's so much easier than to help and contribute to development, even if you're not a developer, but you can test things. Yeah, you know if it's working or it's not working. And most developers have their own test kind of steps in there that they needed to you to kind of look at that. So yeah, if you want to contribute and are not a developer, but kind of technically inclined to do this. So, but that also brings us to the end of the show. And I have that one last question. Do we have any announcements or anything that you wanted to?
I do. And I've been doing a lot of usability tests on the navigation block.
I wanted to ask you about that. Yes.
Yeah, that's, I have not reviewed them all, but once I'm done, I'm going to be posting up something probably towards the end of this month. And I'll share all the different videos of the navigation block testing and maybe call out some things that I found interesting, how people were using it. This feedback and these usability tests will feed directly into the improvements that are happening on it as well. So everybody keep an eye out for that post on make.wordpress.org/test. And leave some comments when you see it, please.
But this is the end of our show. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have any questions or suggestions on news for us that you want us to include, send them via email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com, changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. But you, of course, you can always kind of ping me on Twitter, which a lot of people do. So that's it. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. And I don't know. We don't have another show before the end of the year, I guess.
I don't think we will, because the release of Gutenberg is still up in the air right now. Whether we're going to release these holidays season or not, or wait till January, that's still up in the air. If there's a release, maybe you'll see me and Birgit back again. But if not, you can expect to see us in the new year or listen to us. New Year. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye. Until the next time. Bye.